On tonight's episode of Drive with Woody Fitt and Bower Power, we've got a special Halloween episode.
Ooh, spooky.
Oh, yeah. We do briefly mention Halloween, and that's what I mean by that.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah. We talk about doctor visits. We talk about deloads.
Wait, not our doctor visits.
Our doctor visits.
Kids doctor.
Yeah. I don't believe in the doctor. I never go. I mean,
I go when something's been wrong for longer than a week.
Right. The adult approach.
Yes.
Then we talk about deloads in your training. We talk about the flu. This is also kid related, of course.
Oh, yeah.
And we talk about Nate's training and piriformis issues and how he's dealing with that.
Hopefully the good way this time.
Good way is better than the bad way.
Yes. So if you would like to have us answer any questions you might have about fitness or dad life, shoot us a message. Send us a DM on Instagram. You can find me at Woody_Fit13.
And you can find me at BowerPower82. That's BAUERPAUER82. So send us any questions, any requests, or anything else you'd like to let us know.
Oh yeah, and for now, enjoy this episode of Drive with Woody Fit and Bower Power.
Right on. I'm trying something new for this episode.
Yeah.
I actually hit record as soon as you answered the phone instead of waiting 5 minutes into the into the conversation.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right. Okay. There we go. Okay. Holy shit.
Been a week, huh?
It's been a hell of a week. Tonight was Halloween, and my buddy, he was like the best man in my wedding, and he's a cop in a township like south of me, and so I told him, like last weekend, I was like, "Yeah, I'll bring the kids." He was like, "I'm working Halloween, so like all I'm really pretty much gonna be doing is handing out candy." Right. And I was like, okay, well, I'll bring the kids down because that'll be cool, because I don't think we officially, like, I don't think they really knew that he was a cop. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
And because Gianna had met, I guess, probably only been working this job as a cop for like less than a year now. So Gianna's known him since before. So, we, like, last minute, we were like, oh, shit, we're supposed to go down and see Tanner tonight. And I was like, damn it. I just felt so bad for Nick. Nicky was like, what are you going to do about the podcast? I was like, well, I'll tell Chris. We'll just move it. We'll just do it later or do it another night. Because, like, I feel bad. I hate canceling. But I'm, like, I've taken the approach of, like, I committed to X first, so I'm going to move Y because Y was committed to second. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah. I agree. Like, you got to handle your initial responsibility first. Yeah.
And it's like, that was important to me, partly because, like, you know, in the society that we're in now with all of the drama around police officers, you know, I want to do my part to make sure that as my kids get older, they view police officers as, I don't want to say like a resource, but like, you know, help.
That they understand that they're there for you.
Yes.
Not that they're the bad guy.
Yes, which, exactly.
Yeah, there seem to be a lot of efforts that paint things that way, and I'm with you, dude. Like, yeah. I definitely want Marcus to grow up understanding that like, hey, if a cop wants to talk to you, you know,
it's
fine. Like, you have nothing to hide.
Yeah, and they're real people too. You know what I mean? They're not
right.
They're not some robot. You know, like, they're real people, and I feel lucky for, you know, my best friend who is known. My kids know him as Uncle Tanner. You know what I mean? So it's like,
yeah,
that's how close we are, and I feel lucky that I have that. You know, because they can grow up seeing, like, oh, it's Uncle Tanner. It's a real person. You know what I mean? It's not this fairy tale.
It's not like this scary authority figure.
Yes, exactly. You never see and only see in the only, you know, like, kind of communicate with when there's, like, chaos going on. So it's like, you know, it was important to me to get them down there because Gianna was like, what? And, like, he pulled up after us. And uh-huh. we just met in his township and he, like, pulled up after us. I was like, Gianna, there's a police officer coming. Maybe we're not supposed to be here. She's like, what? What's going to happen?
Oh, man. That's funny.
It was so funny.
That's funny.
So awesome. So did you take Marcus out for trick-or-treating? I know he hasn't been feeling well.
Yeah, we actually did a little bit. We kind of were getting set up on the porch to hand out candy,
mm-hmm.
and we brought him out there. We got him a costume a couple of weeks ago for Captain America.
Awesome.
So, yeah, it's got, like, all the muscles and everything, so
that's
pretty
awesome.
Cool. Yeah. So, you know, a lot of times when he goes out on the front porch, he doesn't like to stay on the front porch. He likes to go down the sidewalk and go for a little walk.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we let him walk for a little bit, and, you know, he went to a few houses, and then we came back, and then, you know, like you mentioned, yeah, he's not been feeling well this week.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Monday morning. He was, like, throwing up, and I had to take him to the doctor when I got home from work, and
mm-hmm.
turned out he's got the flu.
Oh.
So, yeah. Yeah, this is the second year that he's mm-hmm. got the flu shot. Second year he's got the flu.
Mm.
And kind of the same thing with me and my wife, like, last year, because he was a newborn.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we never really got the flu shot before, we were like, you know what? Let's bulletproof ourselves, you know, that way nobody gets the flu and right. all of us are going to get shots. Well, guess who got the flu last year? So,
Didn't you have it last year?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I never get it. I never get the flu. And last year, I got the vaccine.
Oh,
and last year, my wife got the vaccine. And she doesn't usually get it either.
Yeah.
And we both got it.
Of all
and the, Marcus got it.
Of all the vaccines, isn't the flu shot, like, the least beneficial? Because, like, the flu virus will, like, mutates the fastest or something?
Well, I'm not sure about that necessarily. It's just that there are so many strains of the flu. Hard for them to figure out which one's going to hit.
Right.
And, you know, who's to say that there's just going to be one?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm definitely not an anti-vaxxer. Like, we give him all his vaccinations and everything.
For sure.
But
my boys are
but
each
there's
about
a big
to get
difference.
Two.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they're getting two on Tuesday, so...
So how do they do with trips to the doctor? Have they figured out that that's where the shots come?
So, Gianna, the last time she got a shot, she just took it and, like, was just like, yeah, okay, whatever. Like, didn't cry or nothing. Four years old, got a shot, didn't cry. Like,
she's a champ.
Shit, I was crying up until I was probably like 10, 11, 12 years old. I still hate shots. But yeah, she just took it like a champ, I guess, the last time. And I mean, Shane and Lincoln, when he got his first shots, he just lost it, which every baby, you know.
Right.
It's just like, you betrayed me. What are you letting them do to me?
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, Shane's a boy, so, like, he's a bruiser. You know what I mean? He'll just like beat himself up accidentally and just get up and keep going. And so yeah, I mean, he'll cry. I'm sure he cries. I think it's nothing sticks out in my mind, so like it's nothing out of the ordinary hearing about his doctor visit. But yeah, I mean,
I've noticed
it was surprising.
The reason I asked is because, you know, you've got kids that are older than mine, and when he was little, of course he would cry when he would get the shot, but you know, he'd get over it pretty quick. You know, you'd hold him, give him, you know, his bunny or, you know, something to make him happy.
Yeah.
And he'd get over it pretty quick. Well, now it's like he anticipates. And like as soon as we walk in to like the triage room or, you know, whatever, as soon as somebody gets close to him, he starts crying. And it's like, now he's got like this negative connotation with the doctor's office, even though he doesn't always get shots when he goes there.
Yeah, you know,
when I took him to the doctor this time, he's got a pediatrician, but I couldn't get into the pediatrician till like later on in the day, and I'd work that night, and I had to work the following night, so I kind of wanted to get it over with. And so I took him to the urgent care clinic, and shout out to that urgent care, like they actually, we'd only been there once before, but they all remembered him, and they're all like super cool.
Nice.
So, you know, so it was really cool. I mean, after the PA saw him and, you know, diagnosed him with a flu, you know, the nurse came back in and she was like, hey, do you want a piece of candy? You know, just real cool. It's always nice to have that type of experience, you know?
Especially when it's like, when you're bringing your kid, it's like, you feel bad when they lose their shit. Because you're like, okay, I'm that parent now whose child is disturbing everyone. And then you also feel bad because it's like, you don't want to make your kid lose their shit. And like, you know, I'm always afraid of, like, am I permanently scarring her, him, because, you know, this is such a shocking experience. So it's like, it's a terrible thing taking him to the doctor, to the hospital or the urgent care.
And
when like you get a good nurse, you know what I mean,
it's it makes a huge difference. If you get a good doctor or a good nurse or both, it makes a huge difference.
100% So this week and this past weekend, what was your win-loss?
So, I would say that my win for this week, I came off of the first deload in my bench program back into the sets, and during deload week, the guy, so I bought a pre-made program, right?
So, real quick, explain the deload thing. In case anybody's not familiar with that term.
Okay. So, like, a deload is something that is, tends to be necessary in pretty much any type of program, but, you know, your most basic program is like a linear progression, which means you're moving up in either reps or weight every week. Well, everybody knows that even if you're new, you can only do that for so long before your body needs a little bit of a break. And, you know, if you're new especially, you probably are going to have a tendency to wait too long before you deload. You're going to end up failing a set, and you don't really want to fail sets. You want to convince your body that you can do it, not train your body to fail. So the purpose of a deload is to give your body a little bit of a break, but still keep moving. And there are different approaches to this, but the best approach is to lower the volume. So, like, you can lower the volume, you can lower the weight. You know, you can do it either way. But if you were to multiply your weight times reps, that number should go down on your deload week. It typically lasts just 1 week. And when you come back, you know, if the program has been written correctly, when you come back, you're going to feel, like, pretty strong. And that's why I'm calling this one the training I'm going to call a win this week, because I feel like, you know, I came back from deload pretty strong. You know, I got all my sets in, and they all moved pretty good. I even, at the suggestion of the guy who wrote the program, I even added a set on incline bench and on tricep extensions, because on bench, my triceps are my weak point, mm-hmm. as opposed to my chest. And I was able to get even the extra sets in. So mm-hmm. super happy about that.
Nice.
Because all the weights moved up, you know, the sets moved up, and it all just went really good. So that's a sign of a good deload.
It's always really, like, satisfying to see, or to, like, when you're doing that, to come back from, like, a week or 2 weeks of, like you're doing, like, a deload, or, like, where you just kind of chill out with pushing it really hard, even if it's not an official deload, and then to come back and to crush it. And then it's just, like, because a lot of times, for guys like you and me who, like, love working out, you take a week off and you're like, fuck, you know, I'm gonna lose all my progress. Uh-huh. But, like, for guys like us, people like that, like, need that week off, you know, when you're super consistent all the time. You know, maybe it's a good idea to take the week off. And I just find it satisfying to come back and be stronger.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And, I mean, I actually trained for quite a while before I realized that that was necessary, which is not very smart. But I think I went on vacation or something and mm-hmm. didn't have access to a gym. And I came back and I just, like, killed the workout. And I was like, man, I was not expecting that. I figured it would suck after a week off. Mm-hmm. And the trainer was like, well, yeah, I mean, your body probably needed the rest.
Mm-hmm.
Because you do accumulate fatigue, you know, as much as we work on our recovery and our sleep and all these other things, like, it is hard to, you know, especially in the types of lives that we have as parents, you know, that stuff usually suffers,
mm-hmm.
you know, like this week, you know, with my son having the flu, like, I still had to work and I had to watch him too, so, you know, my sleep suffered. But despite that, thanks to the deload, it all went pretty well.
Hell yeah. That's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
All right. What about your loss?
Well, so my fail for this week, I kind of actually already touched on it. My fail for this week is going to be choosing to get Marcus the flu shot.
Huh.
Maybe he would have got the flu even if we hadn't got it for him. But
yeah.
I can tell you that, I mean, this is, so far we're 4-4. Mm-hmm. Every time somebody's got a flu shot, somebody's got the flu.
Damn.
So next year, I think we're going to roll the dice and just see what happens. You know, if he gets it, it won't be any worse than what happened this year.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
So, yeah, because it's, you know, it's just so rough when they're that little.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he just turned 20 months, so, or he's just about to turn 20 months.
Mm-hmm.
So he's still pretty little. He can communicate with us, you know, a fair amount. But, you know, when they're just, like, so tired and they have that glazed eyes look,
mm-hmm.
they don't want to eat. Like, this is a third day now, I think, that he's had it. And today he finally, like, started eating and drinking more fluids.
That's
again.
Because
he was rejecting pretty much everything the last couple of days.
Jeez.
And that's rough. But he's starting to come back, so...
That's good.
You know, just a temporary fail.
It's gotta be... Dude, it's gotta be just, like, irony or, like, a coincidence that every year you get a flu shot and every year he gets the flu. Because there's... Let me think. So it's been 6 years that I've been in the National Guard. And it's been a few months that I got out. But right before I got out, I got my flu shot. And so that would be 6 years in a row that I got my flu shot. And I think at least two of those, two out of the 6 years, I got the flu. So
yeah,
a third of the time, it doesn't work. At least from the past, 6 years from my experience, a third of the time it doesn't work.
Well, and it's funny too, because I know a number of medical professionals, and most of the time when you ask them if they take the flu shot, they'll tell you no.
No shit.
Yeah, because they just really, like, this is my thought about it. Like, the other vaccines, like, I don't know, like polio and tuberculosis, like, the stuff that used to kill people.
Yeah.
That we've virtually eliminated. That stuff, they had plenty of time to just, figure it out and kill it. And it's pretty much dead, so it's not currently adapting.
Right.
The flu changes every year, mm-hmm. and it's obviously still around. So I think it just makes it, like, I'm not blaming anybody. I think it's just very difficult for them to figure out which strain it's going to be this year. Is it only going to be that one, or maybe it's going to be another one?
Right. Or, like, isn't it possible that by having all of these vaccinations for each strain, that we could create, like, a super flu? Because, like, we create a vaccination, and then the DNA mutates by very slightly to not be affected by that vaccination. And then we try to create another vaccination to kill that. And it just, like, the DNA keeps mutating to the point where just nothing will kill it.
Well, I know that happens.
And then we have, like, a super flu epidemic where just everybody's got the fucking flu. And, like, it could be, like, deadly or some shit.
Yeah, I know that happens with antibiotics, and that's why, like, pretty much any time you get prescribed an antibiotic, they always tell you, like, make sure you finish it
mm-hmm.
and run the 10 days. Like,
yeah.
That's pretty standard,
because mm-hmm.
They want to, like, make sure that whatever you use the antibiotic on, that it gets completely killed.
Right.
Because if it doesn't, then, yeah, what you're saying
it'll
will
mutate.
Happen.
But
that's with antibiotics.
Right.
Like, as far as the way that vaccines work, vaccines are a little different because it's a weakened version
of the virus.
Of the virus.
Right. And viruses are not living beings. Bacteria are living.
Yeah. So I think it is a little bit different, but either way, like, yeah, I know. Considering the last couple of years, I'm just going to roll the dice and see what happens. It could also be because he's in daycare.
Yeah.
But
and dude,
I know
if that's your if that's your fail for the week, you're sitting pretty good. You're sitting pretty good if that's your fail for the week.
Yeah. So what do you got? What do you got on your win and fail?
All right. So this week, my win, which you could consider it a fail at the same time, but my win is recognizing the issue that I'm having with my hips and not being a dumbass. So I think what it is piriformis issues. So the piriformis is a muscle in your, like, lumbopelvic hip complex that is very important in, like, stabilizing the hips, okay? And it kind of, imagine it's running from the inside to the outside of your hip bone. You know how there's a big circle cut out in your hips, in your hip mm-hmm. bones? Imagine it's running from, like, the inside of that to the outside of the circle. Like, I'm terrible at describing it. But anyway, it's important for stabilizing the hips. That gets the point across. So,
okay.
I think that's what I pulled, because some of the symptoms that I've had have matched up identically with symptoms from, like, a piriformis strain. Like, for example, earlier last week, it was like Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, my left foot hurt like a motherfucker. Like, it felt like bones were broken in my foot, right? And the sciatica nerve runs down all the way to the bottom, from like your tailbone essentially, all the way down to your foot, to your heel. And that can be a sign that like you have a sciatica nerve issue. Well, the piriformis, when it gets like inflamed, because if you strain something, it generally gets inflamed, can push against the sciatica nerve and cause like sciatica nerve type pain, right? Or sciatica nerve type issues. So I've been like super diligent with keeping, I literally keep a lacrosse ball with me while I'm at work so I can just sit on it if I have to kind of like roll out and like kind of relax the piriformis. But you know, it's definitely kind of serious.
So are you still feeling that sciatic type pain?
No, or? that pain has gone away, but I'm just having like pain in the lower back, which is also like a symptom of a pulled piriformis.
Right.
And I felt it right where, like, when it first happened a couple weeks ago. It was very acute, and it was when I was deadlifting. And so, anyhow, I've trained a couple times since then. I tried to deadlift heavy since the first time, and that was like a week and a half ago, maybe. And I was like, why did I do this? I'm a dumbass. So then today, deadlifts came around in the program that I'm following. And I kind of decided, like, I'm going to follow the program because I can still squat pretty good and I can still bench, obviously. So I was like, I'm just going to follow the program to a T minus, like, deadlift day, and just kind of, like, use that day as, I'm still going to deadlift. So, like, I deadlifted today, but the program called for, like, two sets of 8 to 12 on deadlifts today. So I was like, okay, I'm going to do two sets of 8 to 12, but it was just with one plate. And what I focused on was just the technique, right? And something that I've never focused on with deadlifts was the cue of trying to split the floor. You know, if there was a crack between your feet and you're trying to push the floor, push it sideways away from each other. And just really focusing on doing that, I could pull one plate off the floor with no pain in my back, which is crazy.
Okay.
So I'm thinking, and I learned this week that when you're not doing that and you just kind of relax your legs, I mean, even though they're not really relaxed, but if you're not actively engaging your quads, you can cause more strain to be on the lower back.
Right.
So by really kind of focusing on that cue of splitting the floor and pushing outwards with your feet as you're deadlifting, has been massively beneficial. And so I'm just going to like kind of let my ego go for now, take a step back and just start from scratch. You know, like, I'm relearning the deadlift because that's a cue that I have to learn, you know, for my health and also for
in longevity.
In longevity, you know, because I want to be able to keep deadlifting. I don't want to totally ruin my body. And I may consider playing with sumo deadlifts, because you're more upright and you give more quad activation anyhow with sumos. And I got my sumo pretty good, like maybe a year ago. A little over a year, I got my sumo deadlift up to like 365 in a couple weeks of doing sumo. And then I just kind of got out of doing sumo because, I mean, part of the reason that I don't want to do sumo is ego, because it's like, oh, it's not a real deadlift. It's a different exercise. You're kind of cheating because it's a shorter range of motion. And like, I will never take away from somebody, you know what I mean? If they say like, hey, I hit a PR on sumo deadlift and it was thus and such, it's fucking awesome. Good for you.
Yeah.
But, like, the ego does kind of, you know.
So, you know the best argument that I've heard, in my opinion?
What's that?
Against the sumo is cheating thing?
Yeah.
While it is a shorter range of motion, coming off the floor generally takes more time with sumo.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, your typical sumo and conventional pulls take the same amount of time despite the shorter range of motion of sumo.
Right. And I mean,
and like anyone who hasn't like tried it before, because I'm still pretty new to it, it's definitely, I mean, if you're not doing sumo correctly and you're kind of like sumo conventionaling,
mm-hmm.
basically you're, you know, your torso is leaned over too much and you're kind of trying to do a conventional pull with your legs, you know, wider.
Right.
Then this is not the case. But if you're doing sumo correctly, like breaking it off the floor is the hardest part of the lift,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of the opposite of conventional. Conventional, a lot of times, like if you're going to fail, like you'll break it off the floor, but you won't be able to lock it out.
Yeah.
Or you won't be able to get it past your knees. Or,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you hit that wall, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've considered in my head, you know, playing around with sumo. And I just want to see how this goes. You know, because, like, I've come to the realization that, like, yeah, it's important to me to be able to have a big bench squat and deadlift, but what's more important right now is for me to be able to run around and play with my kids. And if I don't have the mobility or flexibility or just the ability in general to do that, it's going to bother me more, you know, than not having a bench squat or deadlift where I think I should have it.
So, or it just taking longer, which is probably more likely, you know?
Yeah.
If it takes longer, that's cool. Mm-hmm. You're still going to get there. You're just going to get there a little safer.
It's just going to get there a little bit. And, yeah, hopefully a little bit safer. And, I keep telling myself, I'd rather get there safer than just get there and ruin myself, you know?
Right.
Because...
And, like, every time you figure something out like that, like... you figured out this cue of spreading the floor, like, really helps you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, by... once that becomes ingrained in your deadlifts, it'll probably make your lift as a whole stronger.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So...
for sure.
You know, every time you figure out these little things, like, even though they seem like a fail, like, all that little stuff adds up,
mm-hmm.
you know? And the longer you lift, like, it gets harder and harder to progress.
Yeah.
Because you're approaching more and more of what your full potential is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But when you figure this stuff out, like, when I pulled out that muscle in my back, and I figured out that it was because my core was weak, like, mm-hmm. I figured out something that I needed to work on that will make not only that lift, but all of my lifts stronger.
Right.
And a lot of times, that's, I mean, by you figuring this out, that may help your squat out, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so basically that's my win for the week, is not training like an asshole when I know I need to train a certain way. And, like, it was just deadlifts, single-arm lat pull-downs, dumbbell rows, and then Zottman curls. That was today's workout. And... I've been throwing in some more abs than what the program calls for, just particularly because I know I have a weak core, so I need to do it. I need to do that more often, and a little bit more mobility work than what the program calls for. Really, just that's just static stretching for me, for my hips, because my hips are so fucking tight. But yeah. I did a good job of not training like an asshole today.
All right.
And I did what I needed to do. And, you know, my goal is just to keep that up and not do dumb shit, anymore. And I don't know. I think probably my fail for the week is, I don't know, man.
Well, we can call that your win and fail.
We'll call that my win and fail, because, yeah, I had...
Because it kind of, you know, and this is something that's kind of funny, because a lot of times when I'm thinking what's going to be my win or fail of the week, I end up thinking, you know what, this is my win, because, and then I'm like, but it's also kind of a fail. You know, they're actually pretty tightly intertwined.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's like, I think that's something that's just important to realize. That, like, a fail is only a fail if you learn nothing from it. Like, a true fail.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you learn something from it, then it's still a win.
Yeah, it's a good, it's a positive thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess, all right, here's a fail. Here's a good fail. My patience always needs work. I mean, you know, hands down. Like, my patience sometimes with two kids that are, Dad, fuck, right. Leave me alone. It's like, yeah, my patience could use a little work sometimes. But I mean, you know, I'm a work in progress. We're all fucking work in progress.
We all are.
It is what it is. Yeah, we all are. I wanted to bring this up. I was listening to, I found this really cool podcast called Science Versus. It seems pretty interesting. I've only listened to one episode. It was about vaping. They were talking about all of the potential reasons why people are being hospitalized by vaping and stuff.
Okay.
And it just kind of put it into perspective. Like, you know, there's been this hullabaloo about, oh, vaping is bad, it's going to kill you. There's been like 30 or some deaths from vaping.
Oh, wow. I didn't know it was that high already. Yeah.
But like, smoking kills like thousands of people per day, you know, and they were saying like everybody's like demonizing vaping, and I think like Michigan, a city in Michigan, banned flavored e-cigarettes, and yeah, and so to me, I was just like thinking to myself, like, okay, like, I get your point, because they did make the argument that, like, listen, you know, there's been 30 deaths or whatever from vaping, and there's like thousands of deaths per year from people who smoke cigarettes. And like, my argument is like, okay, like, I understand there's only been 30, but like, there was like a 17-year-old kid that was like healthy and then went from being healthy to being fucking, doctors wanted to put him into a medical induced coma in like less than a year. So, like,
wow,
like, it's fast. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, okay, there's people that die from smoking cigarettes, but it takes fucking years to happen. There's a slow decline. And there's a point with everybody, I guarantee you, that where they're like, maybe I shouldn't smoke as much as I do. You know what I mean?
Because right.
You got the smoker's cough, you're out of breath, like, you got a sore throat all the time. It's just like, there's signs that if you're like even somewhat self-aware, you'll recognize are from smoking. And so, like, it just takes so much more time for smoking to kill you. So it doesn't seem as fucking drastic. But when you take a 17-year-old that's, like, a healthy football player, and within a year, so sick that doctors want to put him in a medically induced coma, like, yeah, that's going to raise some fucking red flags to me. Like, you know what I mean? I would, at that, yes. Like, choosing that versus smoking and dying in 40 years from lung cancer, I'll take smoking and dying in 40 years, because at least I can enjoy it for fucking longer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, anyway.
Yeah. Back to the point. I'm curious to see what they end up determining on that.
Well, I think what's starting to show up is that it's from these black market vapes, because even the like regular market, like the legal weed vapes, they're regulated to a certain extent. Like, companies can only use certain pesticides, right? And
okay,
but these black market vape companies who are making these weed vapes are just like doing whatever the fuck they want, because it's black market. And
no. When you say black market, are you talking like strictly illegal, or are you talking unregulated?
I'm talking like, you know, if these people were to get caught, they would go to jail.
We're talking straight up illegal, yeah. not like unregulated, like how the supplement industry
No,
is.
No, like, I'm...
Okay, gotcha.
And like, you know, the government knows about what happens in the supplement industry. You know what I mean? It's not, it's just like, there's just vague guidelines. But anyway.
Right.
Yeah, it's like, I'm talking like straight up, like, these companies exist, but like, it's like shell companies within shell companies within shell companies, I guess, or whatever, to hide.
Or some guy that has a science kit that's creating his own shit. Yeah.
And so because of that, there's no regulations for them to follow, so they do whatever they want to make, you know, the quote-unquote best quality vape, and turns out to be fucking killing people. It's crazy. And, wow. I mean, I think it'll come around, like, you know, part of it is just fear, you know what I mean? Because it spreads so fast because of fear. And then politicians and people make decisions without knowing the entire story. You know, so I think it eventually it's going to work itself out, and it'll be interesting to see how it works itself out. But anyway, the point of bringing it all up was this podcast called Science Verse. And I guess they take, you know, current events that are happening and like kind of bust some myths by actually talking about the science behind whatever it is. It seems pretty cool.
Okay. So that actually sounds kind of like that book I mentioned in a previous podcast, Cardio Versus Weights, Which Comes First by Alex Hutchinson, just in podcast format.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. Yeah. Or I guess you could also say it's kind of like Mythbusters.
Yeah. Which is one of my favorite shows.
That is a good show.
One of my favorite shows.
Those guys are cool.
Oh, man.
And they get to do a lot of cool shit.
Oh, yeah. They just get to blow shit up on TV.
Yeah. Pretty much whenever they want.
And with that, thanks for listening to this episode of Drive with Woody Fit and Bower Power. If you have any questions you'd like to hear us answer on the show, you can send us a DM on Instagram. You can find me at Woody_Fit13.
And you can find me at Bower Power 82. That's BAUERPAUER82.
Hell yeah.
Enjoy.